Hey guys, welcome back to the Prehistoric Life Podcast, and I'm your host, Eric Crawford. Today, we're actually diving back in with an individual species. I know it's been a while since we did one of these, but today, I'm diving in with a very, very fascinating one. Not that all of these aren't very fascinating, but I'm diving in with one smaller end creatures, the Microraptor. So let's dive right in with some general measurements and things like that. So here's some general measurements. So it's very tiny, as you can see, and it's very raptory-like, except for the back legs. It kind of has that extra thing, and it's got an extra long wingspan. Its tail is kind of, instead of one more solid fluff, it's got a little bit at the end, it seems. It's about 3-4 feet long, give or take. It's about 2.2 pounds, so you could chuck this thing real far. It'd probably fly like a paper airplane, and it's about 1 foot tall. These things are famously known for just soaring between trees and things like that. Its diet was insects, other small animals, dead animals, lizards, tiny things like that, whatever it can kind of get its jaws around. Its fossils were found in China, primarily Liaoning province. I probably butchered that. It is a small theropod / carnivore. They lived in packs of fairly large groups because they're so tiny, so they kind of use that too. They lived in forests, jungles, things like that. They jungle-ish areas because they soared between trees. They used feathers to glide from tree to tree. They used claws to kind of grip and climb up trees very quickly. But they used their claws, their teeth, and their sickle claw. Shaped toe claw, because they're in the raptor family, so they get that very famous sickle toe claw. This is actually a velociraptor sickle toe claw, so don't think I'm saying that that's a microraptor. I guess microraptor would be like boop and is there. It was one of the first aerial dinosaurs, because technically you could say pterosaurs, but they're not really dinosaurs. It was named by Zuzing et al. In 2000. So, I probably horribly butchered that. But it was also born during the, or not born, but came around in the Apten of the Cretaceous. Give me a moment. So, Cretaceous right here. Apten, so about 125-ish. Million years ago. So it was in the early Cretaceous. And we have about approximately 300 remains of individuals. I know. Absolutely insane. Flabbergasting. Microraptor was first presented to the world as part of a composite fossil called Archaeoraptor. Where the tail of a Microraptor has added to the upper body of a Yenorinus. More dinosaur names. Yay. Acroraptor was a scandalous fake that made headlines around the world. But in the aftermath of this, Microraptor would become known to science. Because Acroraptor was found to be fake before it was ever offered or ever officially named, it was never an official recognized genus. In fact, the full name Acroraptor leoninginus was printed before it was officially granted as a recognized specimen. In the wake of the discovery of Acroraptor being a fake, the avian paleontologist Storrs L. Olson tried to get the name Acroraptor assigned to the part that was from Microraptor to remove the Acroraptor taint from the Paleoornithologic record. I don't know who comes up with these names, so please bear with me if I sound like I'm losing my mind or speaking complete and utter gibberish on one or two of these terms, because I have no idea what in the Hillshire crack pipe these people are smoking, because they have some insane names. Of course, it's like things like that, and so you get the more Latinic names. I think Latinic is the correct term. I don't know. I'm just doing whatever with the names. I'm just trying my best. However, Zuzing, I think I'm pronouncing that right. I am so sorry he could be still around. That'd be cool. One of the paleontologists who was part of the Acroraptor study team had already found the counter slab and further remains, naming them Microraptor Zahonianus. Although Olson was first, he named the Microraptor part of the Lectotype, a name that is taken from a group of specimens of the same name. But remember, the name Acroraptor was never officially recognized, and the specimen was only named as such in the media, which does not count. As such, on part of Acroraptor could be assigned to the name as a lectotype. And it is for this reason this dude's name is literally, like, his first name is X, the letter X, and then U. Exu? I don't know how I'm pronouncing it. Name and description has gained wider acceptance and is now used the world over. Microraptor is a very special... Sorry, excuse me. Microraptor is very special and is often called a four-winged dromaeosaur. So, things about dromaeosaurs, they have very cool names too. This is actually a dromaeosaur draw. Dromaeosaurus. But not a Microraptor, because this thing is like almost as long as a Microraptor, so it'd be very interesting if it had the same jaw. No, that's about the length of the tail. But as you can see, it's got very sharp, what would you call that? Not pointed, but serrated teeth for kind of gripping onto prey, things like that. So this thing has a lot that goes on for it. It's a dromaeosaurid. Dromaeosaurs are like, and raptors are very close in species. So it's also got the raptor claw, and although dromaeosaurs also have raptor claws. So this thing is overall very cool, and it could fly. So it had that going for it too. This is because not only did Microraptor have extensive feather coverage over its arms, it also has a similar extent of feather growth on its legs too. Although not a flyer like a true bird would be, Microraptor may have been able to use these feathers, feathered areas along with its small size and light build, to glide across tree canopies of the forest of Cretaceous China. So yeah, like I said, I mean, It doesn't fly. It doesn't flap its wings and go soaring like a bird. It's not like, but it does kind of just like jump and then just kind of catch air with its wings to kind of carry itself. As an arboreal dinosaur, Microraptor may well have lived like a bird. As a living animal, Microraptor is thought to have been most active at night, as evidence of the scleral rings. So if you don't know what that is, do I have
something showing that? No,
I do not. So if you look at some fossil remains, you will see a ring in the eye, inside like the eye hole. It's like another ring, and that is basically to help that animal see at night or to give it better vision. Here, let me see if I can just... So, yes, right here. This is a great example. Actually, I don't know what I just opened. Here, on like a dromaeosaurid. So you see this ring right here in the eye hole? Where the eye hole is. So you have the nose, the nostril hole, I guess, or not the nostril, but I guess it, you have the nostril hole at the end, and then you have that other face hole, and then you have the eye with the ring in it. That is to basically kind of help the animal see slightly better at night. And there, I guess we have very well preserved fossil records of Dromaeosaurus having, or not Dromaeosaurus, Microraptor having these. So that is very well for us. Stomach contents have also been preserved.
Ooh.
Revealing the smaller mammals formed at least a part of the Microraptor's diet. So yeah, smaller animals, insects, lizards, things like that. Basically anything smaller than it that would just scurry around, it would catch it and eat it. How Microraptor moved through... Excuse me, I just sneezed everywhere. That was nasty of me. I apologize. How Microraptor moved through the air is quite interesting. Initially, it was thought to have that the arms and legs would have been held at the same level and perhaps overlaid one another. However, in 2005, the paleontologist Sankar Chatterjee, I think I pronounced that right, said that an overlaid posture was an anatomical possibility, and instead proposed what has been termed the biplane method. The biplane method is where the hind legs are held at a different height to the arms, so that when viewed from the front, Microraptor would look like it had two pairs of wings. Chatterjee also constructed computer models and demonstrated Microraptor actually being capable of powered level flight. And if the living creature did indeed do this, Microraptor would have had quite a considerable range when airborne. So Sankar. I'll call him Sankar. So the wings are here. Let me try to demonstrate this. So he got two sets of wings, and he thought that they would be held like that. Kind of, if that makes sense. So instead of the wings all being at the same level, some would be lower than the others. So it would look like kind of like an X flying through the sky, if that makes sense. I guess it looked more like an X instead of just a little head. And he also thought it was capable of powered flight, apparently, which is, I don't know. I mean, I guess a little bit of flapping, not like soaring from Cretaceous China across the planet to America or anything like that. But I feel like light, it was definitely capable of light flappage. Other researchers have done their own studies on the flight ability of Microraptor. And while some of these recognize the biplane method as possible, some consider it to be inefficient and suggest that Microraptor had a different orientation when flying. What can also be considered is that Microraptor may not have had just one method of gliding and may have adapted different configurations to changing needs. So yes, that is another part of it. There is a solid chance that maybe the soar away faster because it's being chased by a bigger Microraptor or a different predator. Maybe it soared this way to speed up. Or maybe it's just getting from point A to point B, so it doesn't really have a hurry. Maybe it's a different way. There's all kinds of different methods. I mean, think about like walking versus running versus just full sprinting versus kind of like just. There's a big difference between all of these. And there is also like a very, very clear or like. It's a very obvious thing that like. What would you call it? It's a very obvious thing that not necessarily would it have just one form of movement. It's kind of obvious that it wouldn't have that because, I mean, us humans, we don't even have that. We can run, we can walk, we can sprint, we can crawl, we can do all these things. And of course, it can do all those things too. It can run, sprint, crawl, all that. But it can also fly, so why would it not? Why would it only fly? I'm only stiff winged like this. Why wouldn't it, I don't know, change its method to kind of zig and zag between some trees to get along on a farther tree? Or if it's hunting prey on the ground, maybe it can't just fly straight into the ground because then it breaks its neck. But like maybe it kind of swoops a little bit and it has like a method for that. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into this, and I would also like to kind of play this because this is a somewhat idea of what it was thought that these amazing creatures sounded like. So I'm going to play this and shut up. So that was amazing calls of Microraptor. So, I mean, again, there's a bunch of fabulous stuff. And I'm sure like things like Archaeopteryx are also somewhat related to this. Amazing dinosaur. Look at Tarbosaurus and T-Rex. You get things like that. And I mean, Archaeopteryx and Archaeopteryx look fairly, I'm not going to say the exact same. They look pretty different. But there is a clear... No, Archaeopteryx and Microraptor look very similar. And, I mean, of course you get very similar species across very similar areas. And there's no reason that Microraptor couldn't go somewhere else and evolve into a different creature or whatever. But this has been Microraptor. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. Remember, if you do want to see these amazing creatures that I talk about on display and go around on a trip for them to go check them out, please go check out Dinosaur Trips. Remember, tell them Prehistoric Life sent you. They'll give you $250 off your tickets. That is kind of the main thing from Dinosaur Trips. If you want their Instagram page, here it is. I hope it actually loads. There it is. There's their Instagram page. I hope you guys go check them out. They have a lot of amazing content. And remember, if you do plan on going, tell them Prehistoric Life sent you, and they'll give you $250 off your tickets. And while you're checking out Instagram pages, please go check out mine. Follow me on Instagram. If you're watching this on YouTube, don't worry about subscribing. Well, yeah, do like and subscribe. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you can ignore this part, fast forward, do whatever you want. Go check out my YouTube channel. I try to release everything 2-ish days early on there. Trying to go motivate y'all to go like and subscribe. If you want all of that in one place, go check out my website, prehistoriclifepodcast.com. I got all of it there. From there, you can get to my YouTube and my Instagram. But for now, I hope you guys all enjoy the rest of your afternoon, morning, evening, or night. This has been Prehistoric Life Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Crawford, signing off. I will see you all next time. And remember, keep it prehistoric. Goodbye.